Good afternoon. My name is Evelina Jacegrad, and I am a postdoctoral researcher at UC Davis in the plant pathology department. I'm going to present today drone data from our pistachio orchard. And the title of the presentation is High Throughput Phenotyping of UCB1 Seedling Rootstocks in the Experimental Pistachio Orchard. UCB1 is the main pistachio rootstock, and it is a cross between a specific trace of Pistacia atlantica female and Integrima male that was selected for verticillium resistant by Dr. Lee Ashworth at UC Berkeley. So as I mentioned, this is the main pistachio rootstock. However, the growers have a lot of problems with this rootstock because there is a lot of segregation going on just because it is a cross between a completely different species. And what they actually can see in the orchard is uneven vigor, stunted trees with smaller trunk caliper, different branching, and more gray-green canopy color. But the main concern is low yield, up to 30%, as well as nut quality. And because Foundation Plant Services, they provide and sell seeds of UCB1, they started a study on them, and they decided to plant around 1,000 seedlings in 2013. Since then, we've been phenotyping them every single year in January when they were dormant. So we took measurements like tree height, trunk caliper, branching, suckering, and other different traits. However, it is very hard to estimate canopy volume. So last year we decided to use remote sensing to estimate canopy volume of every single individual UCB1 tree. So it is very easy to collect data from several trees, but it is hard to collect data from big orchards. So nowadays, the growers, they started to use drone data more frequently, and there are many applications in agriculture. Those are just few of them. Like, they are used for mapping invasive weeds, measuring vegetation dynamics, but mostly they are used for yield estimation, crop protection, and to check if plants suffer because of lack of water. And they are also used to evaluate tree structure. So there are two types of drones used in agriculture, fixed wing and a rotor drone. And fixed wing moves through the air, so doesn't use a lot of propeller and has a way larger payload capacity. So rotor can take around 2 pounds and fixed wing way more. And fixed wing also has a higher top speed and way longer flights. For example, rotor drone can fly between 18 and 25 minutes and fixed wing around 45 minutes. So there are major differences between those two types of drone. However, fixed wing is way more difficult to fly, so the person has to be skilled and way more experienced, and it's way more expensive. For example, this one on the picture is around $3,000. The rotor one is around $10,000, and it's a decent rotor drone. So rotor one is very easy to fly and has a wide range of prices. However, because of short time of flights, around 18 and 25 minutes, you have to have some spare batteries, so the cost goes automatically up. You have to have at least 2 extra batteries to fly the drone. And so, yeah, we have 2 types of drones, and we have several types of sensors, cameras that are used. And mostly in agriculture, we use RGB, multispectral and thermal. And RGB captures red, green, and blue light, and it's mostly used for 3D visualization. So if you merge several pictures, you can have a nice 3D picture of your orchard. Multispectral data, they are mostly used to capture plant vigor for vegetation. Thermal data, they are used to check the water transpiration, water stress in plants. And LiDAR and hyperspectral, they are less used in agriculture, but LiDAR uses laser pulses to map surface elevations, so you will get very precise data that you can use for 3D modeling in forestry. Hyperspectral collects imagery for a large number of spectral bands, more than 50, and you can spot a specific plant trait thanks to that camera. So we decided to collect data, to record drone data around here since March till December, more or less once a month. And we were flying drone at UC Davis, pistachio orchard, and trees were non-grafted UCB1 seedlings. The land is around 3.5 acres. And we had 485-year-old UCB1 seedlings. So we started with around 1,000, but I think in 2016 they started to overlap because they were expanding too much. So we decided to remove every other tree. And with drones, we collected tree height and canopy volume. We used drone with RGB and multispectral camera. And we were flying this drone 30 meters above ground level. It was a plant flight, so we created map according to which the drone was flying. And we received 90% overlap for each picture. And UCB1 crown, UCB1 canopy shape is a little bit tricky because pistachio vera canopy is circular and it's very nice. So there is no need for segmentation. But actually what we could see gaps within a canopy volume. So you could see actually for one tree several canopy volumes, but it was just one. So we had to first do the segmentation, right? And also red dot shows the center of each tree. And here we can see RGB data. So they're giving us a general view of the field. And also very interesting here, we can see, we can see that during November and especially in December, leaves started to change the color, and they were going dormant. Multispectral sensor shows vigorous data, so we can see that trees were vigorous since March till November, and again we can see how trees change leaf color during December. Additionally, so NDVI data, you can actually attach additional camera to record NDVI data, or it's the same camera that records RGB data. So NDVI index, it's a vegetation defect, the index that shows photosynthetic activity in plants. And the very interesting thing about UCB1 trees is that they are actually photosynthetic active during all year. So actually they actively grow every single month, and they don't stop until there is like some kind of really harsh conditions, like really cold winter, but it actually doesn't happen in California. I did also some calculations, so I tried to correlate tree height and canopy volume, and they were pretty much very nicely correlated, so we can see significant correlation between canopy volume and tree height, and around 61 and 74 canopy volumes were correlated with tree height. However, we are missing here March data. I was not able to collect canopy volume because I think leaves were not fully developed, so I got negative values and they didn't make any sense, so I just didn't add them. So yes, I would like to make some conclusions based on my presentation. Yeah, we can say, I can make a statement that estimation of UCB1 tree height and canopy volume, well, is actually possible when you use remote sensing. And tree heights and canopy volumes were highly correlated between May and December. Estimation of the canopy volumes was only possible, as I said, when the leaves were fully developed. And stages of senescence were detected by RGB and multispectral sensor, as we saw before. And project has been funded by the Pistachio Research Board, and we appreciate it a lot because we've been funded already like since 2013. Thank you very much for your attention, and I can answer any questions. So, what I'm going to actually achieve with drone data, flowering, or yes. So, actually, what I'm going to, my next step would be to record those data in commercial orchards because we sequence around 1,000 trees from 8 orchards, and we have some phenotypic data already, like trunk caliper and scion caliper. So. Because we know that canopy volume, the size of canopy volume is correlated with yield data. So actually, we want to approach it this way. Yes.
So the 30% that crop poorly, they have a very small canopy.
I don't think it's always that way. However, I don't think I can answer this question. It's not always this way.
So you're going to genotype?
So the problem now in orchards is that they don't have uniform orchards, so it's very hard to manage those kinds of orchards. If you have small and big trees, the growers would like to have either small or big. You know, it depends what they want. And that's the main problem. Yes? There are some data that they show that canopy volume is correlated with yield.
But my question is, do you know the canopy volume in the rootstock tree
yes.
for that same genotype is going to be highly correlated with canopy volume in a vera grafted?
I understand, but the rootstock basically controls the growth of the scion, right? So we, the one from UC Davis, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't get any suckering data, but we still have them because we didn't cut the entire trunk. We left some, so we can still come back to those trees and extract DNA. Yeah, we have a sucker data from all the trees.
How difficult is it? How long do
you
analyze the data?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question because it's very difficult. Actually, to fly a drone is not that difficult, and it takes several hours. It takes for this field, it took between 2 and 3 hours, right? But to analyze data, I think it's still a bottleneck. And first of all, you have to have software, which is expensive. Then you have to have a memory you have to organize those data. And they're still trying to improve software. And they use GIS Pro, which has been updated 6 months ago, and it looks completely different than 6 months before. So basically people had to learn it from the scratch, and it's not an easy software to work with. So, yeah, that's not easy. Yeah. We are not sure about it yet. The ones from UC Davis?
The ones on this
yeah. We were thinking about it, and there are still some discussions about grafting those trees.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.